So we're going to talk a little bit about a recent protest that took place on Saturday, July 19th. It was the third time in less than 10 days that hundreds of Montrealers took to the streets, and they were there to demand an end to Israel's war crimes and violations of international law. 10 years after the International Court of Justice ruled Israel's apartheid wall illegal, the wall continues to divide Palestinian families, expropriate Palestinian land, and serve as a visual reminder of the system of apartheid that Israel has instilled both within the occupied Palestinian territories and within Israel proper. Protesters in the hundreds marched through the Jean Talon district, demanding an end to Israel's deadly assault on Gaza as part of its Operation Protective Edge. Protesters stopped in front of the G4S Montreal office, calling for its boycott and divestment. G4S is a British-Danish security company that supplies services and equipment to Israeli prisons, where Palestinians are held without charge or trial in administrative detention, and where torture against Palestinian political prisoners has been proven to be rampant. It also supplies the full-body scanning equipment to the more than 500 checkpoints that operate along the wall that impede Palestinian freedom of movement. Protesters called on the Quebec government, which holds shares in the company, to divest from it, just as the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation did last month. Dror Warchowski, one of the protest organizers, explained how 10 years after the International Court of Justice ruled Israel's apartheid wall illegal, the wall continues to divide Palestinian families, expropriate Palestinian land, and serve as a visual reminder of Israel's apartheid system.
The first question is, last week was the 10th anniversary of the ICJ ruling. The ICJ is the International Court of Justice. And it was the ruling about the wall, the apartheid wall in particular. Can you talk to us more about this ruling and why is it important?
Yeah, it's exactly 10 years ago, on July 9, 2004, the ICJ gave an advisory about the legality of the wall. And it said one important thing that some media reported, which is that the wall is illegal with regard to the international law. But it also says something else that people tend to forget, which is that this ICJ, the International Court of Justice, is a body of the UN, more or less. And so it appealed to nations of the UN, so the international community, all countries, to enforce this advisory. So it specifically meant for nations to pressure Israel to respect the law and to dismantle the wall. And it says so by whatever means necessary, including sanctions. Mm-hmm. And so it's important because 10 years after, it's 10 years today, nothing happened. Of course, nothing happened on the ground in terms of Israeli dismantling. It actually continued building the wall. It continued to build more settlements within the 1967 borders. But also, none of the countries of the UN ever did anything to try to convince Israel to step back from this doing.
So Israel never had never recognized the ruling. So it didn't. And what about the Israeli Supreme Court? Did it affect any of their ruling?
No, it just totally ignored it. I mean, the they don't even call it the wall; they call it a fence. It's an 8 meter high concrete wall with high technology surveillance system and electronic devices and all. But no, the Israel continues building it. The only consequence on the ground is so. This was July 2004. In July 2005, the Palestine a grassroots campaign was built, which now everybody knows as the BDS, Boycott, Divestment, Sanction campaign, directly as a consequence of a new strategy, seeing that despite International Court of Justice agreeing with the illegality of this wall, nothing happened. So then, because nations don't do anything, then there's an appeal to the population, to the people of conscience, to act on behalf of their countries.
So we are talking about this because of this anniversary. July was considered or was declared, let's say, as an anti-wall campaigning month. And we know that around the world, there's many events or action happening for that for that occasion.
Yeah, indeed, the Stop the Wall, which is one of those grassroots organizations in Palestine, appealed to people around the world to make this July 2014 the month against the wall. Well, of course, new events happen. So this month is particularly important to talk about Palestine, because maybe one important thing is just to remind people, 10th anniversary, it was also bad 1 year, 2 year, 3 years ago, but because of the 10th anniversary symbolic nature, it's important to remind people that the wall exists, that the wall is illegal, and that nations don't do anything, and that citizens should do something instead. The Gaza tragedy, even though it's the third one in 6 years, is probably going to last for a couple of weeks, but the wall has been here for 10 years. And for Palestine, the hell way of living is daily, and it's been like that for the past 40 or 60 years. So sure, the Gaza event shows us how barbaric it can become, but the wall puts it in perspective and shows that it's unfortunately long-term thing that's happening to them.
And it's a daily struggle. It's not only when they attack. Every day there's a struggle against occupation.
Right. And actually, let's remember, too, that there's a wall around Gaza. We always talk about the 2004 wall around the 1967 borders, or within the 1967 borders. But there's a wall around Gaza, too, you know, being against the wall is being against all walls in Palestine and actually all over the world.
So welcome back. You're on Under the Olive Tree, and we are talking about the protests that took place in Montreal last week. This was Dror Warshavsky, who is a Montreal-based Palestine solidarity activist. And in the clip we just heard, he was explaining what was the original reason behind the protests on Saturday. And the whole thing started with being an anti-apartheid wall protest. And he explained that it's good. Although now what's happening in Gaza is tragic, but this is probably going to be over in a few weeks, but it's very important to remember that the occupation and all its other symptoms are always here, and it's a daily struggle for Palestinians. And so it's always good to also mobilize about this and remind people the root problem and the daily struggle of Palestinians. So we got the chance to talk with another organizer who's also at that protest. He's one of the organizers of the protest as well, Doug Smith. And Doug was actually in Palestine, and he was in the occupied West Bank, and he told us firsthand what he saw. And so during that interview, he will tell us more what it means to live under occupation.
I haven't been to Gaza. It's very hard to go. I've been to Palestine in general. And, you know, and we're talking about the broader context. We're talking about, for example, the West Bank. The West Bank is cut in two. And this is why we talk about Israeli apartheid. It's cut in two, just like South Africa, small bantustans, small areas where they just have control over some sort of police force, but the Israeli military reigns over basically almost all of the area. They're little islands, little pockets where there's settlements being built all around them, closed military zones built all around them, checkpoints that you often can't pass through. So I have seen that. I have seen that, and I could say that it's something a lot of Canadians are not really used to. Well, of course, Indigenous Canadians are used to that, but most Canadians in big urban centers aren't really used to it, and they have to understand that Palestinians live day in and day out with this systematic oppression that makes a lot of their lives impossible.
We were just listening to Doug Smith, who was talking about the occupation of Palestine and the illegal apartheid wall. He was also talking about like Sausen mentioned, it's important to mobilize about Gaza, about the tragedy that's currently happening there, but we need to remember that this is one symptom of a larger problem, which is the occupation of Palestine. And there's been a lot of discussion about a two-state solution to end the occupation of Palestine and to give Palestinians a state of their own. And for many years, Israel has actually been accused of not sincerely working towards giving Palestinians their own state, and that their only intention is to take more land from the Palestinians through the creation of the apartheid wall, which does not respect the 1967 borders and actually is built on Palestinian land, so that more land can actually be given to the state of Israel through the building of settlements, where Israel is actually transferring their colonial population into the occupied territories. That's what makes the settlement building enterprise illegal under international law. And so there's been a lot of critique about whether or not the state of Israel is actually serious about looking for a two-state solution to this conflict. But recently, Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu admitted openly that he will not accept a Palestinian state in the West Bank. This was according to the Times of Israel, where Netanyahu gave a press conference in Hebrew, and he declared that he didn't see that it was at all possible to give Palestinians their own state. So we asked Doug Smith to react to the statement.
I think it's interesting because that's what we always suspected, and now he's just sort of taken off the mask and just said really what his policies spoke about themselves, right? Actions speak louder than words, but now we have actions and words from Netanyahu and from successive Israeli governments that didn't allow and didn't accept any of Palestinians' political processes. Mm-hmm.
So we just heard Doug Smith reacting to Netanyahu, the Prime Minister, the Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, comment that when he said he would not accept a Palestinian state on the occupied West Bank. We actually talked with another protester. Her name is Sabine Friesinger. She's also a Montreal-based activist, and also she reacted to that comment.
There will come a time when it won't be his decision anymore to make. I think there will be a time when the whole world will come to the reality that one state solution will be the option, the only option, because what are we going to do with all the 350,000 settlers that are in the West Bank and you know, in Gaza? What are we going to move people again? I don't think so. I think it's a possibility of people to live together. We thought in South Africa that it would be impossible for, you know, whites and blacks to live together. It's not perfect now, but we ended the apartheid system in South Africa, and we can do it again.
So playing interviews we did during the Saturday protest that was in solidarity with Gaza. But as we explained, this protest started as an action, as an anti-wall action, anti-apartheid wall action. And the place that the protest chose to start and to end also was very significant as well. It was the G4S Montreal office. So G4S is a security company. And basically, it's targeted by the BDS campaign, the boycott campaign. And so we talked with Dror Warshavsky, one of the organizers, and we asked him why G4S was targeted and why they chose this place in particular.
And the place was chosen to be in front of G4S headquarters. So G4S is a company. Mm-hmm. It's a British-Danish company. It's a security company. It provides security apparatus for prisons, but also for official government places. But, and that's why we target it, also for the wall, for the Israeli wall. It was hired by the Israeli government to do the security of the checkpoints and of the wall itself. And so the Montreal action targets G4S to denounce this complicity with this crime denounced by the ICJ, mm-hmm. and also to denounce the Canadian complicity, because G4S is a company that the Quebec government holds shares of. It. The Quebec and the Canadian government employs this company to do the security in detention centers. And so Canada and Canadian citizens have a direct responsibility to try to convince this company to at least not be complicit in this wall.
The organization Stop the Wall, which is a group to try to end the Israeli illegal apartheid wall, declared July an anti-wall campaigning month. So in France, there have been a lot of anti-wall actions that have been taking place since the beginning of the month. We talked with a France-based Palestinian solidarity activist about the anti-wall action in France and the general Palestinian solidarity movement in France. Let's listen to an interview with Annie. What's her last name?
It's Annie McStravick. Can you talk to us more about the event? Where was it? When?
Yeah, well, we did it in a very lively area of Paris. It's a working class area. Mm-hmm. And some of the activists constructed a marvelous fake wall, mm-hmm. and painted it with slogans. So it looked rather like the real wall itself. Mm-hmm. And we also set up tables displaying a lot of our brochures and documentation, our T-shirts, etc. Mm-hmm. We hung a lot of posters and large photographs on the railings nearby. Mm-hmm. We had a sound system and played a lot of Palestinian music and used that also for a number of speeches that were made, including one by a leading member of the Union of Palestinian Students here. Mm-hmm. And we distributed over 1,000 tracts that afternoon to the people who passed by or who stopped to talk to us.
Mm-hmm. What are you saying? You had tables, you had flyers and all that. So what are the main messages or information you felt was very important to convey to the public?
Well, we wanted to remind people of the cruelty of the Israeli occupation, together with that shameful apartheid war. And they both combined to devastate the lives of the Palestinian people, preventing farmers from getting to their fields, children from getting to school, stopping people from doing the most ordinary things like visiting members of their families and so on. Mm-hmm. It's just awful. Every aspect of people's daily lives is controlled by Israel in this really brutal fashion. Mm-hmm. And we also wanted to tell people who didn't know about it, mm-hmm. the BDS campaign, mm-hmm. which is quite strong here. Mm-hmm. And a great number of people came by during mm-hmm. the afternoon we were there.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you about the reception. How did people react to it?
Well, very, very well, very positively. Many of them stayed to ask us questions or to have discussions with us. And, you know, during actions like these, we always realize that ordinary people, even those who are not especially political, all want to see justice for the Palestinians. Mm-hmm. And they all think it's just disgraceful that our politicians just don't represent us at all. I mean, instead, they persist in supporting Israel no matter what horrible atrocities it carries out. Mm-hmm. So, you know, people are very, very, they're very aware of the situation.
Mm-hmm. So it's good to say, as you explained, the event was for the 10th anniversary of the ICJ ruling. And because of that, July was declared kind of an anti-wall campaign month. So we heard there's other cities that have anti-wall actions. Is there any other action that happened in France in other cities?
Well, that day, there were also actions in Lyon, which is a mm-hmm. large city, mm-hmm. and in Montpellier, a very large town in the south of France. I think there was also one in Perpignan, which is near the Spanish border. Mm-hmm. Apart from that, I don't know if there were any others.
When it comes to the Palestine Solidarity Activism movement in France, how strong is it?
I think it's pretty strong. There are a good number of pro-Palestine organizations, although, of course, a lot of people don't belong to organizations but do carry out actions and protests, mm-hmm. you know, on their own. But the strongest part of the movement here is definitely the French BDS campaign. Mm-hmm. Boycott, divestment, and sanctions against Israel. And that campaign is getting stronger all the time. Mm-hmm. So we have great hopes for that.
Mm-hmm. We used to hear a lot here, I don't know if you still have the problem now, but we used to hear a lot of BDS activists in France being targeted by lawsuits. Is that still going on?
It is still going on. I mean, practically all of them have been, all of the activists have been acquitted. Mm-hmm. But the lobby and supported totally by the government mm-hmm. still continues to appeal these acquittals. Mm-hmm. And there's only just two more cases left to be heard. So it seems to be kind of dwindling away.
Oh.
We'll see.
And when it comes to Europe, do you have any information about that? How do you think the Palestine... Were there any anti-wall action in Europe? And what about the Palestine Solidarity Movement in general?
Well, the only other anti-war action that I heard about in Europe was the one in London. Mm-hmm. But, of course, there's a very strong Palestine Solidarity Movement in Britain. Mm-hmm. There are always a lot of actions there. Mm-hmm. There's certainly a good awareness in France about Palestine, mm-hmm. And we've seen a very good example of that over this past weekend, because there have been demonstrations all over France against this, the Israeli terror campaign being carried out in Gaza yet again. And in Paris, the demonstration was absolutely huge and included an enormous number of women and young people. That was very noticeable. And we could see from the banners and signs that people were also protesting against the complicity of the French president and the lies being dished out by the media. You know, the French mainstream media is becoming almost as bad as in the USA. I don't know what it's like in Canada.
So this was Annie Makstravec. Annie is a France, the Paris-based Palestine solidarity activist, and she was telling us about an action that happened in France, an anti-wall action, and 2 weeks ago. And also she talks about the general Palestine solidarity movement in France and also in London and in Britain in general. And so we did this interview before last weekend when the famous, you probably heard about it, the famous ban on pro-Palestinian protests. So last weekend there was a news in France that they banned a protest in solidarity with Gaza that was supposed to happen also on Saturday, so the same day that Montreal has its Gaza solidarity protest. So this created a lot of outrage internationally and in France. It was viewed as an obvious attack on democracy. So basically what happened, the Interior Minister Bernard Cazeneuve said that mass demonstrations that were planned for the weekend should be halted. And he said that they were a threat to public order. Now, people opposing this, they say that this is actually criminalizing popular support for the Palestinian people. Many spoke out against this ban. For example, Michelle Siboni, who is from the Jewish Union for Peace, she said, and I'm quoting, "By outlawing free speech by pro-Palestinian demonstrators, France puts itself in a unique position in the world and Europe." Also, Youssef Boussama of the Party of the Indigenous of the Republic, he said, and I'm quoting, "France is criminalizing any show of solidarity with the Palestinian people. This is absolute outrage. It is a continuation of attempt to muzzle the Palestinian people and to get them and their supporters in France to surrender absolutely to Israel's oppression." Also, Sylvie Perrault, another pro-Palestine activist from Paris, she said, and I'm quoting, "Fascist states stop people demonstrating against wars. It is beyond belief that French socialists are following their example." So to get more opinion about this ban, we talked with a French artist. Well, when we were in the protest on Saturday, we had the chance to talk to Ashka. Ashka is the main singer of the French band Ashka et les Saltimbanques. They were actually in Montreal because they were playing at the Nuit d'Afrique festivals. And so we had the chance to talk to them, talk to Ashka, the main singer, because he was at the protest on Saturday in Montreal and he was here showing his solidarity with Palestine. And we asked him about what he thinks about this new ban on the protests in Paris.
J'ai fait un papier sur mon blog hier qui dit François Hollande, ce président qui nous fait honte. Et je rappelais simplement la République, parce que c'est la République française. La République, c'est le bien commun, c'est la chose commune. Et c'est ce qui s'oppose aux intérêts privés, aux lobbies de toutes sortes, qu'ils soient des lobbies communautaires, qu'ils soient les lobbies issus d'une nation étrangère, qu'ils soient les lobbies de grands groupes financiers ou industriels. La République, c'est ça, c'est... Et là, aujourd'hui, on n'est plus en République en France. On est sous la coupe des lobbies. Et on est sous la coupe des gens qui décrochent leur téléphone, qui appellent le président et qui lui disent « Écoute, maintenant tu dis ça ». Et ce président, qui est un président fantoche, qui est un président pantin, et je n'aurais pas cru que ça pouvait être à ce point-là. La France, jusqu'à pas très longtemps, était une nation libre, indépendante, avec une voix forte. Et aujourd'hui, elle est vraiment assignée au rôle de vassal. Et c'est vraiment ça qui, me fait honte.
Okay. So we just heard Ashka from Ashka et les Saltimbanques, and he was explaining his view, why he think that now the government, the French government, basically had this ban on the Saturday protests. And he's basically saying that France is not longer a free country, that politicians and governments are very much influenced by lobbies and private interest, and so this could explain what is happening right now in France. So since that interview, because we had this interview on Saturday during the Montreal protests, since that interview in France, in Paris, actually people ignored the ban and they still went to the street. And according to Le Monde, almost 7,000 people did end up going to the street, took the street in Paris to show solidarity with Palestinians. So people did ignore this ban. Also, rallies in France took place in other very major French cities. There was 4,000 people that rallied in Lyon, 3,000 in Marseille, and 1,300 in Strasbourg. So we can see that people at the end ignored the ban and this outrageous ban, and they just took to the street to show solidarity with the Palestinian. Also, it's good to mention that since then, the ban was lifted, and protesters took to the street again yesterday, and also by the thousand they went and they show solidarity with Gaza and condemn Israeli assault, deadly assault, and indiscriminate assault on the Gaza Strip.